Welcome to Shit Quarantined Cosplayers Say.
I'm on house arrest.
Me too, sort of. I guess I'm kind of on... Technically, my state is not doing shelter in place yet.
Mine is. But I still have to leave my house every day. Because I'm essential.
That's the funny part, because I live in the state that's still letting people leave, but I work in the state that is telling people to shelter in place, so I am technically working from home.
I'm not. I got a fancy letter that says, you're important and you get to come to work.
It's a little hard to do a hands-on profession remotely, so this has been interesting.
Well, they canceled half my job and I still have to go, so whatever.
That's fair. I mean, I guess it is kind of like half my job got canceled, but I still have another half, but then I have yet another chunk that I don't understand yet.
Half of my job didn't get canceled. It got postponed until a later date, so it'll be fine now, and then later I'll cry.
That seems accurate.
Yep. But yay, happy quarantine!
Happy quarantine!
Are you doing any fun quarantine-y type things while you are at home?
So my quarantine actually started last week. I finished our No Flutter Ivy wig in like a week.
It's so pretty.
I was home to do that. It is like three wigs thrown into one, so it's a lot of wig. It's one of those situations where for all the projects that I have at my house for all our things, I only have like 75% of what I need to do the projects. So I can get to like a certain point with each project before I'm going to have to like order something or figure something else out. So
I am taking this opportunity to cry about needing to pack up all of my sewing stuff again.
Oh, that's true.
For when I move into my new sewing room and my new house.
Well, and now I can't come help you because we cannot be in the same space.
We cannot be in the same space.
We're going to go through separation anxiety worse than we ever have before.
No.
It usually takes about 2 weeks and then we start going through separation anxiety. So
it'll be okay. I can still see your face.
That's true. We are recording through Skype because we obviously cannot record in the same space as we typically prefer to. Although this has been convenient because, as we've mentioned, we do live like an hour apart too.
Yes. Very convenient.
So what it does let us do is instead of recording like three episodes at once, we can actually record in real time.
Here you go with the trade secrets again.
They already know all of our trade secrets.
That's because you tell them.
Speaking of trade secrets, we do have quite a few updates in regards to convention season, and that is actually kind of where this episode came from as well. The big one that I'm sure most of you have already heard about is that Anime Central was canceled.
No!
Which I am unfortunately more disappointed about than I thought. Actually, we'll be shelving Harley and Ivy for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, it's been 6 years, I believe, since the last time we got to go to ASIN.
At least.
Pretty disappointed because it's been a while. And ASIN was my first con. I have some love for it deep down.
We're a little bummed we can't perform on the ASIN stage, and we won't be doing Congoers Survival Guide either. But we will be bringing you Congoers Survival Guide through the podcast, which includes today's episode.
Right now.
We also were supposed to be at QuadCon on April 4th, which would have been the day before this comes out. Or no, that's next week. Haha.
Good job.
Right? My dates are off.
She's been on quarantine for less than 2 weeks, and she's already lost track of the days.
It has been 1,000 days.
It's been 10.
It has been so long that I can no longer keep track of the days or the time.
They have these beautiful things called cell phones, and they will tell you what day it is.
For it has been too dark and alone to track the time.
You poor thing.
But QuadCon was supposed to happen on April 4th. It is now rescheduled to May 30th. I am questioning whether that's going to happen on May 30th. So we'll keep
Here's
you updated.
Hoping.
As far as we know, Planet FunkCon at the end of June is still on, and Anime Iowa at the end of July / beginning of August is still on, and we have another convention in mid-June pending. For now. For now. I mean, it's one of those things where all of this changes so frequently that by the time we put this out, everything could be completely different.
Part of it also probably depends on if you did your homework from last week and decided to send us as guest suggestions to Magic or Daishokan.
That is also true. We also have a con pending for the fall, but we do have a pretty nice gap between, like, July and the rest of the year.
Speaking of suggestions, if you have any suggestions for somewhere else we could take No Flutter, Harley, and Ivy, since ASIN is now off the table, we have a few requirements. One, they have to do skits, because as we've said, we are performers. Preferably 2.5 minutes, but I won't be too picky. Secondly, they have to take non-Eastern media. So Western media. Harley and Ivy are DC comic characters, so they have to take Western media. The third thing is they also have to take established fan art, because the designs are by the artist No Flutter. So if they don't take any fan art whatsoever, we can't compete in them, because them's the rules.
That is the other reason we're kind of bummed about ASEN, was it was an extreme struggle to find a convention that would even let us compete with these costumes. So I honestly just don't even see them being competed with at this point, because there literally is nowhere else to go.
But it's such a travesty. There are so many rhinestones.
I know, my 10,000 rhinestones cannot grace the ASEN stage no longer.
Well, and even if we do find another con, they still have to be okay with the fact that you did a different skit at C2E2, even though you didn't get craftsmanship judged.
Yeah, but usually you don't get... It only usually matters if it's the same performance.
I know, but there are some cons where it's still technically against the rules.
There's cons that we looked at taking them to that now I can't, because even though I wasn't really craftsmanship judged, because I won an award at C2E2, I can no longer do it.
I've actually seen some conventions where if you've even worn a costume on someone else's competition stage, you can't participate in that fashion.
Yeah, I mean, we lost a couple of the smaller conventions we were considering for them because of C2E2. That convention also got canceled. So
it is what it is. Apparently, we lucked out with C2E2 moving earlier this year. Everyone complained when they posted the dates. Oh my gosh, why are you moving it to February? That's terrible. Well, if it had been any later, it would have been canceled, because everything at McCormick Place since has been canceled.
True that. Speaking of sending things in, we are still looking for any listener stories, suggestions, etc. Right now, with my schedule change, I can totally take things through DMs as well. So if you want to DM us at our Instagrams, either at Lavi Cosplay or Podcast SCS, or through Facebook, I can take those as well as email. It may take me a little longer to organize things that aren't sent by email, but by all means, feel free to send things in. If you want it, we will give you credit on air for anything that you send us.
And don't forget to include your pronouns.
Please and thank you. We actually have a listener story included in our next episode. Stay tuned.
Yes.
So speaking of episodes, excellent. Today's episode is part of...
It's brought to you by the letter what?
See!
See!
is part of our Congoer survival guide, and we are going to discuss the nemesis of convention going, Concrud.
Evil cartoon villain.
I did draw an evil cartoon villain as our teaser for this episode.
Great.
We need Osmosis Jones to come and save us.
He's the savior. He's the one who can save us all.
From the Concrud?
Yes.
Concrud is not an actual, like, condition. It's basically just anything that you pick up at a con. So cold, flu, virus, etc. Usually people, it'll hit them within like 24 hours to a week after they have attended a convention. Ashlyn, why is it that Concrud happens?
Well, Elle, let me tell you. Concrud can happen for a few different reasons. One, I know this is going to surprise you, but typically at conventions, you have a lot of people in an itty-bitty living space.
What?
Itty-bitty living space. A lot of illnesses are actually spread through droplets, which sounds really gross. I'm going to say the word moist now because I know it makes some people uncomfortable.
Don't do it. I can't.
So when you breathe,
stop.
Droplets expel from your body. And they just kind of hang out there in the air. Depending on what kind of droplets they are and how big they will stay there for a certain period of time. But if you come into contact with those droplets, then you are exposed. And if they get into certain orifices, I know that makes people uncomfortable too.
There's too many uncomfortable words being spoken at this moment.
So many uncomfortable words. Then you have a potential for getting said illness. So yes, breathing, sneezing, coughing, that all expels it. It's bad. But you've got somebody breathing on you, it's totally good to be like, I need you to step back. You're in my bubble. And the other thing that I know is going to super surprise you is people come to con when they're already sick.
What?
I know. And they don't really necessarily always take care of themselves while they're there. I know. I just know I'm giving you all these mind-blowing revelations.
Wait. Ash, they at least practice basic hygiene, right?
No. There's a reason why the Dance of ASIN is called the soap bubble.
I bet a lot of people don't know that that's why it's called the soap bubble.
Yeah. Take a shower.
I mean, they also do legit, like, fill the room with foam bubble stuff, but, I mean...
That's relatively newer, I believe, though.
That is newer, but yes, it originally was named the soap bubble because of... I mean, I'm sure we've all smelled con funk.
I really hate it when you show up at an event on Friday and it's already there, and you're like, I know that you don't... This doesn't live in this hallway year-round. Take a shower. Wear deodorant.
Take a freaking shower. The con funk is strong. I'll give C2E2 credit. I don't think I smelled any con funk.
Maybe that's because they were mostly adults.
Maybe it's an anime convention thing. I don't know. You all tell us. We don't do the Comic-Con thing. You gotta let us know. Is con funk usually better or worse at a Comic-Con than an anime convention?
I would also be curious about Gaming Con.
Yeah. Well, Gaming Con, it's a lot of, like, doing LAN parties and stuff, typically.
It depends.
That's true. It depends if it's a board game or a video game.
Most of the Gaming Cons I've been to have a good, healthy mix of board games, tabletop games, strategy games. Some of them even have live-action role-playing games. You get a little bit of everything.
Well, and we will... teach you all the ways of hygiene so that you can prevent con funk this con season whenever it restarts.
Yep. Because you know what's really sexy? Basic
con
hygiene.
Funk? Oh, basic hygiene. Basic hygiene is totally sexy. Obviously.
I will also say disclaimer, when Elle and I went to C2E2, both sick, we did not have anything contagious.
No. We were not contagious.
They were very personal illnesses that could not be shared with anyone else through contact.
We luckily actually don't really get con crud that often, so we're gonna share our secrets with you on how we keep that away.
I guess we can share those secrets.
We gotta share some of our trade secrets.
But Elle, I really just don't know. Why do people come to the con if they're sick?
Well, Ashlyn, it's actually for a couple reasons. One of the big reasons that I actually, and the reason that I really get, is that they've already spent so much money on the tickets and the hotel that they can't get back. That they're like, well, I've already spent all this money. I can't give my ticket to somebody else. I might as well go. Now, I do know that more and more cons are offering ticket transfers than there were in past years, but still that's typically like in advance of the con. It can't be done like a day or two before. And cons are being more strict about whether or not you have your exact badge. So it is also a lot harder to just be like, hey, dude, I can't go take my badge, than it used to be, because you can't pick it up. Like, the person would still have to physically come and pick it up. So at that point, like, if they're sick, they're going to have contaminated people already. The other reasons would be that they don't want to miss out on all the fun.
I can relate.
I mean, we get that. You know, you have been looking forward to this all year and you really want to go and you don't want to miss out. But if you're, like, legit sick, how much fun are you really going to have at a con? I mean, you're probably just going to make yourself more sick. And I get it. You're like, I've already taken the time off. I can't get the time off back. I'm going to go anyway. And then the biggest one probably is they just don't think what they have is that bad. Like, flat out, I just don't think that I'm that sick. Which brings us to why cons are canceling, and that is our lovely worst con crud of them all, the COVID-19.
No. But Elle, what is COVID-19?
Well, it is actually a virus. So it's from the family of coronaviruses, which include things like SARS and MERS, which were really awful viruses from, like, a few years ago.
Yep.
It spreads very quickly and very easily. It stays on objects for a really long time. And probably the scariest part about it is you can totally be carrying it and passing it and not know that you have it. So COVID-19 plus convention equal disaster.
I know. COVID's not like the ninja friend that you want to have your back right now. That's bad.
It is totally a ninja virus. It is, like,
totally
stealth.
Sneaky. And we'll just come up and be like, hiya!
But legit, a convention is the perfect environment for COVID-19 to get transferred.
Cesspool!
You're in really close proximities. People are touching lots of different things. People are, like, touching each other, taking photos and things.
Can I bump you?
I mean, it's literally like someone made the perfect environment for this virus and went, here, virus, enjoy. Which is why large gatherings are being canceled. But why is it that conventions are waiting, like, a couple of weeks to sometimes even the day before, like, poor NakaCon?
I think that was day of.
Kudos to NakaCon. They did an amazing job dealing with this. But their city put an ordinance through literally like an hour before badge pickup on Thursday.
As a former con organizer, definitely kudos to your team. Everything that I saw that was posted from official sources and replies on social media was a very calm, factual, professional. They weren't making any promises that they couldn't keep. They were answering questions as factfully and truthfully as they could given the amount of knowledge that they had at the time. Anytime that they promised additional information or updates, it came shortly thereafter. Definitely gold star.
Like, A+ NakaCon, if we can support you in any way, let us know. you might be a con we need to look into for next year, because that was just really impressive.
Well, the reason why so many cons are waiting, quote unquote, until last minute, even though everybody's kind of predicting, like with ASEN, that they are going to cancel, it has to do with contract language. So there's a term that's written into a lot of contracts. It's called force majeure, which means superior force. And essentially, it means that there is an unavoidable incident which prevents one or both parties of the contract from fulfilling their portion. So, if the government or the health department or the CDC says, you know, maybe you should think about not having an event with more than 1,000 people at it. Okay, that's a great recommendation. Doesn't get me out of my contract. But if the governor says, I am banning all events over 50 individuals, if your event has over 50 individuals, you just got your free ticket to cancel. Now, there are still going to be some expenses that you're going to have to pay, but your event insurance should kick in and cover a good chunk of those for you. That's why a lot of them you're not seeing until right beforehand, because they financially can't afford to cancel without the event insurance. Otherwise, the con would just die, and nobody wants that.
And so for some of our bigger cons, like Anime Central, you know, they're going to be okay. They can wield, you know, they can survive the storm, essentially. For our smaller conventions like Anime St. Louis, or even our medium-sized conventions like NakaCon, they're going to have a harder time. So consider buying a ticket for next year as early as you can, because that will help support them to be able to make sure that there is a convention next year. If you decide to maybe roll your badge over instead of getting a refund, that will also help the conventions a lot in staying open for next year.
Yeah, any of that extra money that they can have liquid is just going to help them be able to better budget for the future. Because even if their event insurance does kick in, there are going to be a lot of non-refundable expenses for possibly products maybe they have already purchased, whether that's going to be con swag that has the year on it, the printing costs for badges, brochures, signage, advertising expenses, anything that they would have spent ahead of time that's going to be non-refundable at this point because maybe the product or service has already been delivered, they're going to have to eat that. So the more money you can leave with them, the better. Maybe even consider next year, if you can afford it by budgeting ahead of time, go ahead and spring for that VIP just to show them that little bit of extra love.
Well, and I mean, rolling your badge to like even Anime Central 2021 is definitely not going to hurt anything. It will definitely help them in making sure that there is an Anime Central 2021, but your bigger, more established conventions are going to be able to survive this. It's your smaller cons that are really going to suffer. And unfortunately, your vendors and your artists are also going to really suffer from this as well.
There are a lot of people that rely on those sales in those vendor halls and artist alleys in order to put food on the table and make a living. If you had an event that you were supposed to go to that was canceled, maybe see if they're releasing a list of everyone who was supposed to appear in the vendor hall or the artist area this year. If you can afford to, go ahead and buy something. Or maybe have a commission done. If they have Patreon or Ko-fi, consider donating to them, even if it's just a dollar. A dollar from 100 people is $100. So every little bit definitely helps. And if you can't afford to actually spend money on it right now, give them a like or a share on social media. Every little boost that they can get is only going to increase their chance of future sales. A lot of them are struggling right now.
Yeah, and production costs are more than you may think. I know right before this happened, which I'm actually glad I didn't put the order through yet, I was looking to get some shit cosplayer say related merchandise made because we're going to have a table at QuadCon and also at Planet FunkCon and get some prints made. And then possibly, eventually, we were going to try to open a Patreon, which seems really silly right now, because who's got the dollars for that at this moment in time?
Those dollars we just told you to give to other people.
Well, we're still both working full time. So as far as I'm concerned, give your dollars to, you know, these poor artists who like, this was their full-time jobs. I know when I lived in New York, there were multiple charities to help artists during these kind of situations, so I'm looking into that right now, because we may end up doing something more like a donation thing anyway for these items that I was going to be going to have made, since as of right now, QuadCon and FunkCon are supposed to still happen, so I may go ahead and get them made anyway, and then you may be able to essentially buy them from us with a donation that then proceeds would go to said charity. But I need to do my research, because you always want to do your research before you do charity. But even the, you know, the back pay that I was going to have to do for a few items was quite a bit. I can't imagine what these artists are paying to fill entire booths with product.
Yeah, absolutely.
We kind of talked about ConCrunch in this mix, and you would be surprised how, you know, not sleeping and not eating right and having a ton of stress weeks before an event that has a lot of people that might have a lot of germs increases your likelihood that you're gonna leave with ConCrud.
What?
Yes. Not taking care of yourself, which is part of ConCrunch, are probably the two main reasons outside of, you know, hygiene that people catch ConCrud after a convention. So when you're doing ConCrunch, you're not sleeping, you're not eating, you're stressed out, you're, you know, going to con, your body's basically been pushed to its complete and total limit, which I believe we figured out had kind of a name.
Yes. So it's called the letdown effect. And essentially, you'll see this a lot around big events. And it could be for all the good reasons. You could not be crunching and just be really, really amped up for it, really excited, doing a lot of activities. Your brain is really motivated and just really working and still have the same thing. So it's not necessarily just from lack of sleep, but that definitely does not help. Get your sleep and your vitamins. Your body is in its kind of fight or flight mode. It releases a lot of chemicals, which will actually help ward off illness during your stressful time, which is going to include through the convention. Even if you're there having a blast, to your body, it's still a form of stress. After the stress is gone, say Sunday night or Monday, your hormones flip. It makes you more susceptible to all those same things that your body was kind of warding off before. So any of those germs that you picked up at the con are now going on full attack mode to your body. The other thing is some of those stress chemicals are still going to be in your system, and a lot of them can cause inflammation. So you'll see a lot of people who either get chronic migraines, arthritis, other chronic aches and pains, they're just going to have those flare up immediately following con because of this reason. If you can kind of chill out on a regular basis and kind of bring yourself back down to a more normal level, if you can kind of mix that into your daily routine, it's going to help prevent you from getting quite so high on the stress level. The other thing that they recommend you can do is actually take a little bit of a breather. Maybe take that day after the con and still keep your body and your mind engaged. So do puzzles, play strategy games, exercise, anything that's going to kind of keep those levels still up a little bit versus going into full relaxation mode is going to help to kind of ward that off longer and help wean you off of that stress high as opposed to just crashing.
We know that most people can't really afford to take yet another extra day off. I know that we're kind of getting to that point where you almost need another extra day off because we end up skipping Sunday of cons most of the time to be able to do that relaxation process, because even though we don't tend to get con crud as far as like colds and flus, I personally get the body pain and the joint inflammation because I have a connective tissue disorder and it loves to flare up during con. It's its favorite game. Let's just have a party because you're at a convention and I'm going to cause you a ton of pain by the time you leave.
Well, and now you have a name that you can call it.
I have a name for it. It's called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. But
jeez.
My body hates cons. We will talk about that in a future episode of dealing with physical and some body difficulties while at conventions, but boy, I feel this letdown every time we finish a con.
Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy. But I take a lot of steps to take care of myself at con so that my letdown isn't debilitating and I can go back to work on Monday.
But, oh, why do I need sleep?
Sleep? So, people not taking care of themselves at con is largely around the need to try to fit as much into a short period of time as you possibly can.
I'm sure that never happens.
You're up, you're drinking, you're partying, you're trying to wear 5 costumes in a day.
What? You know,
right? I mean, we've never done that, so we don't know how that works.
No, never.
Our idea of staying up and partying is like eating large amounts of food and playing board games and maybe sharing a Kalahari chalice till 2 in the morning. We're not the most exciting party animals on the block.
Says you. It depends on the block.
It does depend on the block. We're Jenny from the block, right? We aren't your, you know, go into the villas party house kind of party animals. So, but we know that a lot of you are. And therefore, you sacrifice sleep so that you can party all night long like it's 1999. At the con. Like it's 1999.
Some of these listeners probably weren't even born in 1999.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners were not born in 1999.
Goodness.
We're old.
That just happened. That just happened.
That, it's fine. This is fine.
This is
so
fine.
Why do you need sleep? Well, sleep is what kind of helps your brain complete its processing from the rest of the day. So if you don't get that time, your brain just kind of gets overloaded. Your body doesn't get that time to reset and to process what you've been doing. It also helps you keep your immune system up, which helps you ward off Concrete. So you need, as hard as it is, to try to get some sleep at a con.
God, you're no fun.
Well, I am a con mom. I am not the most exciting.
Mom.
Not the most exciting person at the con. I don't know. Remember when I was like, how do you go to a bar during C2E2 and have a party? That's because I don't understand these things.
Do we need to go over this again? First, you go to a bar. And then there's a party there.
What?
That is how you attend a party at a bar. Is you pick a bar that has a party and you go to it.
With my noise-canceling earbuds because I can't handle the noise in the bar. I suck at partying. I have sensory issues. I can't do these things.
Says the self-made disco ball.
I am my own disco ball. That's my job at the party, is just
spinning around in circles.
Yes, and being the disco ball.
Spinning around in circles, being in the spotlight.
So the other thing that people forget to do is they spend all their money on booze and then don't actually eat anything. We all kind of have an idea of what happens when you drink a lot and you don't eat.
Nope, haven't the foggiest.
You get more drunky drunk. It will consistently be drunk o'clock.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Depends on who you are. So whether or not it being drunk o'clock all the time is a bad thing.
But Elle, can't I just go get free food out of the con suite?
Okay, so as a former hospital worker, con suites kind of scare the crap out of me. They are probably one of the most unsanitary things I have seen in a while. And it's not that the con suite workers aren't trying. It's just they have all this open food out with all these people around breathing on it. And
remember what we talked about with droplets.
Yeah, it's just like definitely right now and probably for the next year, like unless it's in a package, I wouldn't eat from a con suite. It's just not a good plan. But the other reason it's not a good plan is mostly what you're going to find at a con suite is just going to be empty carbs. It's going to be ramen. It's going to be rice. Like, every once in a while, I've seen them have lettuce. Maybe oatmeal. But for the most part, it's not food that you can live off of for 3 days.
I remember when ConSuites used to be, like, thebomb.com, and they would get, like, booze and pizza and candy.
Oh, yeah. See, I still remember.
Bagels? Bagels with all the fixings.
Oh, yeah, like, Anime Central's ConSuite used to be stacked with, like, pizza and stuff, and they had a karaoke machine in the room.
As you should.
It was great. And, I mean, I'm not going to say that, like, I haven't done the bad food thing when I was young teenager, where we would try to live off of Mountain Dew and Pop-Tarts during conventions.
We used to bring cereal and milk.
Well, the big thing at ASIN used to be that you would have Mountain Dew and cereal. That's
Mountain Dew
and
my cereal?
Yeah, yeah. No, you had Mountain Dew and cereal. That was a thing.
Sugar.
That was definitely a thing back in the day to keep you going.
Well, if I keep consuming it, I can't have a crash.
I think that's thought process. If you just keep drinking Mountain Dew, you won't crash, but you might have a heart attack. Details.
God, you're so picky. So picky.
How picky. So
details, details.
Most people I get, you want to spend your money on like the dealer's room or booze. But there are inexpensive ways to bring food to a con, because we bring food most of the time. And we don't always have a refrigerator.
Nope.
I mean, we will now. Because
we're
going to get filled.
So, we're going to put Phil to work.
We'll put Phil to work if we don't have a refrigerator. What do we need in Phil to save us from con crud?
Eggs.
Yep. That's a big one. We usually do hard-boiled eggs.
Sometimes we'll do protein breakfast shakes, a meal replacement with lots of protein in it. Sometimes as a breakfast replacement, sometimes just to drink to get a few extra grams of protein in. A lot of times we'll bring some sort of either chicken or tuna salad to either eat just straight out of a bowl or maybe with crackers. There's a lot of dry foods that we bring too. We'll bring protein bars or granola bars. Beef jerky is a common one. Oatmeal, if we know for sure that we're going to have something to make hot water, like a coffee pot.
Well, I mean,
that one comes up a lot.
We also bring our Keurig to pretty much every show now.
Yeah, but not everybody has the ability to bring a coffee pot with them. Although, legit, you can go buy a cheap coffee machine at pretty much any discount store for like $10. So I would definitely recommend investing in one, because between noodles and like different macaroni or rice bowls that you can get that are pre-made where you just add hot water to them, oatmeal and everything else, we use it all the time for hot water, and it's a lifesaver. Not to mention the fact that it's much cheaper to buy K-cups than it is to go to the hotel coffee shop and buy expensive coffee, which I'm an adult, and sometimes I choose to spend my money that way. But if I don't have to, I like having the option of something else.
That is how the Keurig started, was we got tired of hotel coffee while we were working a lot of cons at once. But we also couldn't afford the $5 to $7 coffee at the Starbucks every morning. So I dug out my Keurig from when I used to work in an office, and we started dragging that with us instead. And I mean, we haven't started dragging any other appliances. They don't really make like microwaves that aren't horrendously heavy. So we pretty much stick to cold food if we're bringing anything with us.
We have brought a grill before.
We brought crock pots.
We brought the crock pots. We had a taco bar once. That was a good time.
We did have a taco bar.
Check with your hotel to make sure they're going to be okay with you leaving a crock pot in the room, though. And don't leave anything plugged in that you don't have to.
No, definitely don't do that. That would be...
There's a lot of things, too, that we could make at the con if we wanted to wait and buy stuff when we got closer. And we've done that before, too. If we find out that we either have enough room in the cooler that we might bring, or if we surprise end up with a fridge, we'll go grocery shopping, because it's going to be cheaper to go buy groceries and a lot healthier than eating out all the time.
But do not make grilled cheese with the iron in the hotel.
Oh, God, don't do that.
Do not do that.
Don't do that. Please. No paninis. Just don't do it. Don't do that.
Please don't do that.
Oh, please don't ruin hotel irons.
No. Do your research before con. There's usually, in most cases, some sort of affordable food near the convention center. Like Anime Central, you gotta walk to the mall. But then there's affordable food there. For C2E2, there was a Subway like a block away. So we were
and
able,
a bodega.
And a bodega. And a McDonald's in the convention center.
Yes. But if you're looking for something a little healthier, if you can find those sandwich shops, the grocery stores or small mom and pop stores might have some yogurts or some prepackaged sandwiches or salads that you can get. Again, the McDonald's, you can get grilled and you can get salads at a lot of those, or some other shakes actually aren't super terrible. They're going to be super filling for you, even though there's a lot of sugar. Food courts, you're going to have a lot of options. I know the one that Elle was just talking about, they have a couple of different ethnic food stores that have a lot of really healthy options where it's going to be like lean meats and that are grilled with lots of veggies. So definitely any way that you can kind of give yourself a little bit of a perk and cut down on the fried stuff and the sugar when you can. It's only going to do favors for your body.
Anime Iowa probably has the best setup. So the Marriott is probably a quarter of a mile away from a Trader Joe's, a Perkins, and then around the corner from the Marriott, there's a Japanese place.
But the most important thing to remember out of that is Perkins has pie.
That's true. And you got to have victory pie.
And you have to have victory pie. Whatever your victory is for, you have to have victory pie.
You do. We're going to get victory pie just for surviving the masquerade with Lorire after it's over.
After we do the 10-minute skit.
After we do the 10-minute skit, because we survived.
The other thing that we bring to con is we have this itty-bitty cute little tabletop humidifier.
Oh, yeah, the humidifier.
We put water in it. That's the other thing. We bring a legit case of bottled water to this con. A, you can drink it, and you need to make sure you're staying hydrated, especially if you're doing the boozy. We put it in the humidifier. We put it in the garment steamer. If we need to, we'll even put it in the iron. Just so, look at all these options for getting rid of water. And then if somebody loses one, we're like, I don't know whose water this is. Instead of risking it and cross-contaminating germs, we can put it into an appliance and get a new one.
We actually did the gallon water for all our appliances at C2E2, and that worked out really well.
And it's a lot cheaper.
It was a lot cheaper, so we'll probably do that again in the future, because then we need to bring less bottles of water. But we're not going to put the fruit water in the humidifier.
That's a terrible plan.
It's a terrible idea. Don't do that.
But won't it make the air smell pretty?
Don't do it, guys. Don't do
Please
it.
Please don't ruin your appliances.
Don't
with
ruin your appliances.
Water.
Don't put fruit water in your appliances. Please and thank you.
But you know what really, really helps me not get con crud?
What?
Wash my hands. And I don't touch my face.
Wash your damn hands. Don't touch your face.
Don't touch your face. That's where all of your orifices are that we were talking about that you don't want the germs to get in. The moist droplets. Don't let the moist droplets get in your orifices.
Stop! Stop it with the words. I mean, she has a point. That is how most viruses are spread, are through, you know, open membranes. So eyes, nose, mouth. If you take anything from the practices being shoved at you from COVID-19, it's wash your hands and don't touch your face. But you are probably wondering, how do you properly wash your hands or not?
I'm going to go with most people probably think they're already experts at hand washing.
They probably are.
But I think you should tell them anyway.
Well, luckily, occupational therapists are experts at hand washing. Because we legit, like, in grad school, get taught how to properly wash our hands because it is a common goal for children and also young adults with disabilities. It's considered an activity of daily living, hygiene. So you are typically going to work with clients specifically on properly washing hands.
Well, everybody has to be good at something. So I guess if you happen to be good at hand washing, then you can have a gold star.
I get a gold star. Hand washing should take about 20 seconds. So for kiddos, we usually use Happy Birthday as the song that we tell them to sing for that 20 seconds. You have an array of options that are 20 seconds long for washing your hands too. I found a few that I enjoyed, like the Team Rocket speech is about 20 seconds long if you say it in the same inflection.
Oh, good.
Also, the first verse of the Pokemon theme song is 20 seconds long. I actually did a hand washing song at one of my previous jobs with a coworker to the Pokemon theme song, and I can't find it, and I'm really sad about it.
That's really tragic.
It was hysterical. The client hated it.
Tough audience.
But I'm hoping at some point I will find it, because it was really entertaining. But to wash your hands, now you don't need to wash your hands in like scalding hot water, but it should be warm. You are going to want to wash the back and the front of your hands up through your thumb and then up and through your web spaces. And I'll post a chart that kind of gives you all the steps. You're also going to want to wash almost up to your elbows if you have the opportunity to do that. So when I worked at the hospital, we had to wash our hands like a billion times a day. And that was the protocol that we used when dealing with pretty much any scenario. But you're definitely going to want to wash for that extended period of time if you've been in places with a lot of people or places that have had a lot of contact. So better to err on the side of caution than not. Also, in regards to hand sanitizer. So if you've ever been in a hospital, you've probably seen all the hand sanitizer dispensers everywhere. Hand sanitizer doesn't kill everything. It's kind of like a Band-Aid on the germs until you can go wash your hands. So what we were taught was for every 3 uses of hand sanitizer, you wash your hands. So sanitizer, 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 wash your hands. Always wash your hands. If you can't use hand sanitizer, then wash your hands.
Yeah, and if your hands are visibly dirty, wash your hands, because hand sanitizer ain't gonna help you.
No. I mean, it's better than doing nothing if you don't have any other option. But for real, just wash your hands and then still don't touch your face.
Don't touch your face.
Don't touch your face. And while we're at it with germs, clean your costumes.
Please.
So I know that you're probably going, but Elle, I can't put my costume in the washing machine. Well, we get that. Like most of our costumes, we cannot put in the washing machine. Most of them can't even be hand washed, but you can, right after you take your costume off, spray it down with either rubbing alcohol or BioClean, which will kill a lot of those stinky, stinky germs that are now...
Vodka also works for that, but I know you don't want to waste your precious booze.
No, you probably don't want to waste the booze, so we'll go with BioClean or rubbing alcohol. That will kill a lot of those stinky, stinky germs that are sitting in your fabrics. This is especially important if you're someone who has a tendency to, I don't know, like I did, who just pulled their crate of costumes out from C2E2 from their car today. Because I forgot about it. But I sprayed everything with BioClean and wiped it down with a cloth before and let it dry before I put it in the box. It was already clean.
Yeah, we do that at con. I really like BioClean for that reason. Because rubbing alcohol and vodka, if you spray them on something, I've only been able to do it if we can immediately put them in the bathroom and turn the fan on. And even then, you don't want to go in the bathroom for the rest of the night because it just, like, stinks to high heaven. But BioClean has a very light citrus scent. So it actually smells like cleaning supplies, but in a good way, not that overwhelming way.
It smells like delicious limeade.
Yes. Or, for you boozers, margaritas.
you're going to want to take like a damp cloth and wipe off anywhere that your body touched it, essentially, because you sweat, you're wearing deodorant, you were dirty before you put it on, unless you legitimately put it on right outside of the shower. So go ahead and take a damp cloth and wipe it off, just to get off any residues that might have either been on your skin or from your sweat. Go ahead and spray it liberally and just let it air out. Usually I'll just hang it up somewhere in the room. It'll let off this lovely fragrance for the whole room and wait until it dries and then pack it up. But if you do that as you take your costumes off, it just adds a couple extra minutes to your routine right when you're taking the costume off and you're not like scrambling Saturday night as you're trying to start packing up.
We have used BioClean on leather, silk, variety of other fabrics with absolutely no issue.
Inside of wigs?
I use it inside of wigs all the time. Because wigs are something people forget about a lot of the time, and you don't necessarily want to wash your wigs every single time you wear them. Or in some cases, you've got a really heavily styled wig that you can't wash. You can get BioClean on their website. It's BioKeen. Or on Amazon. I've actually bought it at my local like health food store too. But I highly recommend it because it's less volatile to your senses than rubbing alcohol. And I've had no like skin irritation or any negative reactions to fabric. Definitely test it the first time before you use it on something. But so far we've used it for at least a year, if not two. And have had no adverse reactions to any types of fabric.
And that's going to be with any new product that you're going to try on your costumes or your wigs and your skin, frankly. Always test it first to make sure that either the colors aren't going to react, there's not going to be a change in your textures at all, it's not going to degrade those materials, and that you don't have some sort of allergic reaction to it.
I also want to touch a little bit on the mask making craze that is happening since we are talking about protective wear and hygiene. Unless you've been in a bubble, you have probably seen all the initiatives to make cotton masks for hospitals and healthcare workers throughout our country, which is a wonderful idea, but if you are planning on doing this, please contact your local facility before you make anything. PPE, personal protective equipment, is made to very specific specifications to protect those healthcare workers from a variety of different viruses, contagions, etc. Your cotton masks are really only 50% effective in comparison to the masks that are typically sanctioned for activities in a hospital. So you gown up, you put your mask on, you go in, you see your patient, you take your mask and your gown off, you throw it away. Every single patient. So what these masks are good for is going over the certified PPE, basically. So what hospitals are using them for in a lot of situations is covers for that PPE. So what happens now is, you know, nurse comes in to, you know, the spot to get gowned up, as we called it, puts on the mask into the cotton mask, puts that on, goes in the patient's room, takes the cotton mask off, throws that in the laundry, and then the next room they go into, they put a new mask on. And what that's doing is that's lengthening the life of the disposable masks. So are places wanting them? Yes. However, different ones have different rules as far as whether or not they need to be light colored, plain cotton versus patterned. So I unfortunately saw a lot of people who made beautiful patterned masks who hadn't called their hospitals first and found out they couldn't bring them any. So, as we've said before, you need to Read the rules.
Read the rules?
You need to contact the hospital and find out what their specifications are before moving forward with your kind action.
The other thing, too, is a lot of hospitals actually already have kits that they're just giving out for people who have the ability to do the sewing for them. So you actually don't have to buy any supplies or use anything from your own private stash. They already have the materials that they want. They have a pattern that they want you to use, and you can just go get a kit. Like Elle said, the problem is a lot of people are very rightfully getting excited about helping out in this crisis that we're having as a country. And even as around the world, and they're like, man, this is such a great idea. And they find a pattern on the internet. They either go shopping or they dig stuff out of their personal stash, but then they find out they can't use it. If you already made something just because that one particular place can't use it because it doesn't meet the requirements, doesn't mean you necessarily have to throw them away. In public, yeah, technically a mask is better than none. I know a lot of support care workers are not being given the N95 equipment right now because they aren't considered mission critical to wear the N95. So like your housekeeping staff and your clerical staff are kind of just being told to either put like on a bandana or a scarf. It's going to be better than nothing for those types of people versus not wearing anything at all. But please, please, please contact your facilities before you put the labor in. I would just hate for somebody to be riding this awesome giving high and then completely be crushed by the fact that they can't actually donate all this stuff that they made with all this tender love and care. Step one, read the rules. Step two, contact the provider.
And then please stop buying all the toilet paper. Please.
You do not need that much toilet paper.
I still can't get toilet paper or rice. I cannot buy toilet paper. I cannot buy rice. And eggs. We have a shortage of eggs here, too.
I cannot buy eggs or chicken. Do you know what I like to eat? I like to eat eggs and chicken. That is like 90% of my protein, and I can't buy any of it.
Well, your state's in lockdown, or I could have brought you chicken, because I actually did Aldi delivery the other day, and they had chicken, and they brought me chicken. The eggs one, like, confuses me, but doesn't, because I guess usually a box of eggs is good for at least 2 weeks. So I'm guessing that's why, like, expiration date-wise.
They're cheap, I get it. I mean, it's like 5 dozen in a box. So I totally get it, especially if you've got a big family. I actually ended up getting, like, $5 organic eggs because I was desperate. That's the other problem. If you're hoarding all the things, the people that don't go grocery shopping. Now, I am fortunate. I am still, I guess you could call it fortunate. I am still working. However, there are a lot of people that are on fixed incomes or possibly have recently got laid off because they don't have enough hours available at their company now, who can't afford to do that. And they live paycheck to paycheck. And now they go to buy their cheap chicken and their cheap eggs, and they can't buy any because the hoarders got it all. Shelter's only in place for a couple weeks, and you can still go to the store. So stop hoarding all the things.
Well, that's a part that, like, I don't understand, is most of the stores very quickly adjusted to, like, curbside pickup and delivery options. Like, you can go to the store and not have to have contact with pretty much anyone. So why are we hoarding food like nobody's business?
I mean, on the plus side, I have an entire freezer full of venison.
Oh, I forgot about your freezer full of venison.
That's besides the point, because I want my chicken and my pork chops.
But you have a freezer full of venison, so.
And I do have a lot of spices, so I guess I'm just going to eat deer tacos for the rest of my life.
I could eat deer tacos for the rest of my life, but I can't come and get any because...
if you had deer...
Yeah, because now we're in lockdown could. And I can't get any.
Joke's on you. You don't get deer tacos.
Sad. What's some deer tacos?
I will be sure to eat them and then send you a picture so you can be sad.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You can send me a picture of your eggs
of my
and chicken. Yep. Yes. We can live vicariously through one another. It reminds me of, like, the olden days when everybody had their specialty for that one job that you did, and then you had to, like, barter, and you're like, oh, well, here, have some, here's one of my chickens. Oh, here's a chunk of my deer.
I bartered today. So.
You did.
I did. So I have a friend who really should not be out in a lot of this right now, and she really wanted this, like, cabbage from Aldi.
Okay.
But she really wanted it.
I'm following.
And I was ordering from Aldi already. So then I was like, okay, I will order that. And I was like, she was like, well, what can I give you? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to take any money from you, you know, because I know that she's one of the people being affected by this whole not working thing. And she's like, well, I have rice. So we legit we legit traded cabbage for rice today.
That's awesome. You got rice.
Because I'm running low. Rice is a staple in my house. It's eaten with, like, every meal.
Elle lives on rice. Elle has a fancy rice cooker, and she uses it for every meal.
I have rice for everything, and I am running low on my rice because I buy the giant bag from Aldi, and they haven't had rice in, like, weeks now. So I traded 2 jars of cabbage for, like, a pound of rice.
I love it. That makes me really happy.
You all should share with us your crazy quarantine activities, and we will totally share them in our stories on Instagram. So if you tag at podcast SCS, we will 100% share those on Instagram. I know most of you are surviving through Animal Crossing.
The other thing I really want to try is this Netflix with Friends app.
Yes!
That I've seen floating around. I haven't tried it yet, but it sounds like a good time. And essentially, you have a chat window and you watch Netflix together.
I also want to play Jackbox game.
Oh, I don't have Jackbox
games. You're going to have to get it so that you can play
Says
with
you.
Says me.
I would. Actually, I really like the game. The couple times I played it with people, it was a good
time.
It's
cheap. It's on Steam.
Okay. So I can just buy it on Steam?
Yeah, you buy it on
Steam.
And play
it on the computer?
There is also a way to, like, run it if not everybody has the game, but my understanding is it doesn't run as well.
Well, I will have to do that. And then maybe one of these days we could host a Jackbox game for all of our listeners.
Of us attempting to play Jackbox.
Like, no, we could play with them. It'll be fun.
That's true. We could.
Or we could Netflix with them. I don't know. Social distancing activities.
I think playing Jackbox with as many people as we could would be super entertaining.
The important thing, guys, though, is, like, quarantine. I know you think this song is about you, but it's not. Like, quarantine and shelter and stay in place and house arrest or whatever you want to call it isn't necessarily about you specifically, but it is about somebody that you care about. Whether that's your cousin that's immunocompromised, your best friend that's immunocompromised, your grandma, your parents, the newborn baby down the street. It's not necessarily about you. Yes, I am a healthy 30-something-year-old female who, if I got it, it would suck. Hopefully for a shorter period of time than other people have had it. But chances are, I've got a good chance that I'm going to get over it at least most of the way, even if I end up with, like, permanent lung damage like some people have. But, like, if my grandma got it, she's probably not going to get over it. And that's bad. And just think of, like, the guilt that I would live with if I knew that I was the one that exposed her to that and then she never recovered. It's sad. Yeah. And I know that it sucks when your favorite con canceled, but they're just doing their jobs. It's really ultimately for your safety and your benefit, even if in the short term, yes, some people are going to lose money because of either cosplays that you ordered that you're planning on doing, maybe your contract with your photographer is non-refundable, maybe you had a non-refundable hotel room. Work with those people to see what you can work out. Everybody's in the same situation together. So work with those people and see, maybe you could transfer your photographer fee to a different convention. You can always wear the cosplay that you ordered on the internet later. Be respectful to the people that are having to cancel the events. This isn't their fault.
stay in, craft away, or not, take a break, wash your hands,
and don't touch your face.
Don't touch your face.
We love you. Again, I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Elle.
We are Lovey Cosplay.
And this is Shit Cosplayers Say.
Shit Quarantine Cosplayers Say.
Woo!
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Shit Cosplayers Say, an LVC production. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at PodcastSCS. Our website is lavicosplay.com. Have a fun, crazy con or cosplay-related story, absurd cosplay question, or just something in general to share with us? Email us at podcastscs@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, just because you can, doesn't mean you should.